مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of Consciously Connected, coming to you from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in this beautiful city of Durban in South Africa. And we are alhamdulillah also having beautiful weather today after a week of a lot of rain. Now, this session, inshallah, would begin with our segment, O Palestine. Now, yesterday, it was mentioned, every Muslim who is aware and insightful confirms that the Muslim Ummah is facing a very dangerous phase of its history. It is engaged in a fierce and long battle with its enemies, and the most brutal and barbaric of these enemies is the Jutlas, the Jews. And every Muslim who is in a state of awareness, you know, he's not a ghafil, not taken by ghafla, he's not living in oblivion in a dream world, he's not like Alice in Wonderland. So every Muslim who is in a state of awareness and he is insightful, know that the leaders and the politicians are doing nothing about this. They are not acting upon that Quranic verse that was mentioned and discussed yesterday from Suratul Anfal, verse number 60, wherein we read, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ وَآخَرِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ وَآخَرِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَهُمُ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. So there is a weakness. That is why the most we can do now is go out on protest. Because this verse, we're not practicing upon it. Of course, it's the leaders. And prepare for them. مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ to the best of your capability of force. وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ and, you know, horses trained for the purpose of jihad, or mounts, we'll say, because in our time we don't use horses. And the reason you should do this, turhibuna bihi adu Allah, you instill fear among the enemies of Allah and your enemies. You know, when they see where you are, as far as you know, development and progress is, they just fear coming anywhere near you. So your enemies and Allah's enemies and others whom you don't know, but Allah Azza wa Jalla knows them. And whatever you spend for this cause, Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward you for it, and you won't be wronged a bit. Now, for the purpose of countering the Yahudi, the Jutla, the Jewish attack, rather, many of our leaders and politicians, you know, instead of getting the Ummah to the position whereby others will fear us, our politicians and leaders assisted the Yahud in implementing their plans. We know what's happening presently with our Ad-Dawlul Arabiya, the Arabian countries. They assisted them in bringing to reality the situation. The Ummah is in today. They oppress their own people for the purpose of ensuring that the Zion ideology reigns supreme. There's a poet called Omar Abu Risha. In one of his verses, he says, "La yulamu al-dhi'bu fi adwanihi, iyyakur ra'i adru al-ganam." You can't blame the wolf for its, you know, enmity, for it transgressing and coming into the pastures and eating up the sheep. If the shepherd, who is supposed to be protecting that flock of sheep, he is the enemy. He is the one calling the wolf, "Come, come, come. Yes, sheep here. Come and eat." Now, that is what our leaders are doing. They're telling the Jews, "You can come take over, no problem." The wolf cannot be blamed for its enmity. The Yahudi cannot be blamed for his enmity. If the shepherd, if our leaders are the enemy of their people, so we cannot blame, as they are called in our time now, the Zionazis, when our own leaders are our enemies and the enemies of Islam. Every Muslim who is not in a state of slumber, ghafla, and not blind, realizes that these Zionazis in this phase of their war against the Ummah have reached a very advanced stage in implementing their satanic ideology. They have materialized much of what they have desired and planned, and they continue to advance in the materialization of their projects, programs, and plans for the purpose of gaining absolute power over Palestine and ruling over it. And in addition to this, they also want the whole world to submit to their satanic ideas and recognize and glorify it. But alhamdulillah, we see what's happening presently. There's millions of non-Muslims who are standing up for Palestine. Governments may be pro-Israel, but the people of those countries, America itself, there were a whole lot of protests there. So they're failing in that. With their public relations, they're failing. The Muslims living in the real world recognize these issues and confirm their existence. However, those Muslims who are living in a state of oblivion are not aware of these matters. They do not conduct their lives in a manner that reflects that they are opposed to the Zionazis. They do not live as though they are at war with these jutlas by ensuring, of course, if it is within their power, not to say or do anything that would advance the cause of the Zionazis. They ensure that they don't say or do anything that would advance the cause of the jutlas. A simple thing like buying an Israeli product or buying a product manufactured by a supporter of the genocidal activities when there are alternative products on the market, or living beyond one's means, which results in getting involved with banks that are controlled by the Zionazis, hence strengthening them. This majority group of people who are composed of millions deal with the issue in a very naive, simple, and foolish manner. They submit to the schemes and conspiracies of the Yahud by doing these things. You know, either saying things out of ignorance in their favor, and some do it deliberately because they are supporting them. especially at the level of leadership. And they do things deliberately out of support for the Yahud also. And as we are talking about, just those people in Palestine are sacrificing their lives. Here we're telling people to sacrifice Coca-Cola. I was reading an article that it came on, somebody sent on WhatsApp, the Chinese say that this Coca-Cola is only fit to be a cleaning agent, like a detergent or something. They don't want their people to drink it anymore. So it's also harmful health-wise. Those people are sacrificing their lives. For us to sacrifice these luxuries should be nothing. So those poor people, alhamdulillah, for whom Coke and things are luxuries, they're fortunate. Now, as we were just mentioning, that this majority group of people who are composed of millions deal with this issue of this, Israel-Palestine or Arab-Jew conflict in a very naive, simple and foolish manner. They submit to the schemes and conspiracies of the Jutlas. This they do by occupying themselves with serving their selfish desires. They strive to attain what would benefit them personally. Hence, they live in isolation from the Ummah. They're not part of the Ummah. They live in submission to the Yahudi plot as slaves of the Yahud. They serve as guinea pigs for the Yahudi experiments and become destructive products of the Yahud. They become the weapons of the Yahud. As for the propaganda machinery, which manipulates the minds of the millions of simple-minded people, this machinery, which is the marketing tool of the Jutlas, the main component of this machinery is the deceitful media. In addition to the media, there are the politicians, the diplomats, the authors, the movie makers, and of course the big merchants. All these entities serve as marketers. They're in the marketing department of the Jewish products. You know, they product the ideology. When this propaganda machinery controls the leadership, the administration of the Ummah, then the calamity is even greater. The conspiracy is more aggressive. The battlefield is harsher. And the responsibility of those minority Muslims who are aware and really doing something about it becomes greater. Those who are working towards strengthening the Ummah, fortifying it and preparing it to face the Yahudi corruption, the Jutla corruption, are a small minority. However, the effect of the small group must not be discounted. It is tremendous and its benefits are great. This is the permanent nature of the army of truth, Jundul Haqq. As Allahu Azza wa Jalla states in Surah Saba, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّقُورِ, and very few of my ibad, of my servants, are thankful and grateful. A minority of them. And we find in this issue also the conflict between the Arabs and the Jews, a very small minority is being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla by standing up for the rights of those people who are being driven from their land, which they occupied for centuries. This insightful minority of people, this minority which is in a state of awareness, bear the burden of the Muslims. They carry the responsibility of the Ummah. At the moment, it is the Palestinians who are that minority. You know, like one scholar said, the whole world is in the hands of the Jutla, except Palestine. Palestine is the only place free the Palestinians are the only people who are free of the, you know, they are not in the claws of the Jutla. So this insightful minority, which is in a state of awareness, bear the burden of the Muslims. They carry the responsibility of the Ummah. They protecting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is a responsibility of the whole Ummah. You know, this responsibility is something that the whole Ummah is tasked with. This small minority is striving to awaken the Ummah from its slumber. Now you see, even Muslims who weren't bothered about politics, you know, to them this was politics. We working, we want to add extra zeros to our bank account. We want a bigger and more palatial home. We want a motor vehicle that is a mobile palace. That is where their minds were. They pure capitalists. Unfortunately, capitalism has destroyed, you know, the greater majority of Muslims. Now, with what is happening, many of those Muslims also have become aware. You know, as what we were saying, this small minority is striving to awaken the Ummah from its slumber, and they are succeeding. They are striving to open the eyes of the Ummah to see the danger. They are training and preparing the Ummah to undertake the obligation of protecting it in the future from the terrorism of the Zionazis. This active minority engaged in the struggle is taking up a great obligation. They are the people who make up, or we'll say they, meaning the people who make up this minority, are conveying the greatest message. They are the shining stars on this dark night that the Ummah is currently experiencing. They are the only hope for this Ummah. They are presently sowing the seeds of hope. They are sowing the seeds of change, of which, or from which the fruits of change is expected in the future. And as I'm saying, that this is the Palestinian people at the moment. This insightful minority engaged in the struggle, expends whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted them of knowledge and skill in the path of this important task. They expend their wealth, their time, their energy, their knowledge, their skills, their days, their nights, their months, their years, their hopes, their programs, their wishes, everything they expend for this cause. And this is actually what the Palestinians are doing. The schooling of their children have been put off. Their future have been put off. They are doing it for the whole Ummah. Whole Ummah is responsible for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. This verse of poetry by the famous poet Abu Tayyib Al-Mutanabbi applies to this group. Dhul aqli yashqa fi na'imi bi aqli wa akhul jahalati fi shaqawati yan'am. The intelligent lives in a state of misery in luxury surroundings due to his intelligence. Although everything is, you know, soft and easy, smooth and comfy all around him, he is in a state of misery because this state that exists around him has not materialized on the basis of truth and justice. It has materialized on the basis of corruption and tyranny. He may not be affected by the corruption and tyranny. He's got everything he needs, but he's still miserable because he got akal. While akhul jahala fi shaqawati yan'am, he is living in such surroundings that is miserable. But he's living without any concern. of the miserable state around him. Huayannam. He's enjoying himself despite the misery, despite all the misery around him. We see this all over the world. People are living in shacks. People do not have, you know, very basic needs like clean water, sanitation, etc. And the rest of the people, they just don't care. This small minority, which has high aspirations, this minority that is active and constantly striving, is addressing an ummah living in oblivion of the reality of its surroundings. We read in some other verses of poetry, تَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ سَقْمِ صِحَّتِهِ الْعَجَبْ تَدْحَقِينَ لَاهِيَةً وَالْمُحِبُّ يَنْتَهِبْ. You are amazed with my illness, while it is my health that is an amazement. I'm living healthy in this miserable state. That is what should amaze you. How come? There's so much of corruption, so much of tyranny, and I just go on with my life. I go to work, I come home. I'm living for myself, I'm living for my family. That's all. That's a selfish way of living. In Islam, it's, you know, every al-mu'minun qal-jism al-wahid, are like one body. When one part of that body is experiencing pain, all the other limbs share in that pain also. We don't live like that. What has done this to us is again that evil satanic capitalist system made us capitalists. I'm only worried about an extra zero being added to my bank account. I must be able to get that palatial home, that palatial car. Now I got all that. I need a yacht. I want to go sailing. So you are amazed with my illness. When it's not my illness that should be amazing considering the circumstances. It is my health that should be an amazement. How am I so healthy when everything is miserable? تَدْحَقِينَ لَاهِيَةً وَالْمُحِبُّ يَنْتَحِبْ. Here in this verse, the poet is saying, you laugh heedlessly while the lover cries. Meaning the reason for your laughter is your oblivion of the situation. You naive, you ignorant, you're a fool. Had you been aware, you would not have been laughing. The true lover will cry because of the dire situation. This tiny minority that we are talking about faces all the plots, conspiracies and schemes of the jutlas in such a manner that the jutlas and their cohorts have become aware of the danger of this tiny minority against their projects, their programs and schemes. Meaning the projects, programs and schemes of the Jews to take absolute control of Palestine. These enemies are aware that none but this small minority have the courage and determination to stand up against them. None can fortify the Ummah except the Mujahideen, and none can expose the forgery of the Jutlas except the Mujahideen, the people that's right there in Palestine. Nothing will remain and continue except the effect and the influence of the Mujahideen. And nothing can benefit the Ummah except the sacrifice of the Mujahideen. The Jewish enemy and their cohorts want to annihilate the Mujahideen and terminate their existence so that Palestine becomes vacant for them and they can implement their plan. However, that small minority of believers who are contending with the reality of the Yahudi utopia, we can call it, are aware of this reality, and they realize the gravity of the battle. They are aware of what they are getting into. They realized the reality of their struggle. However, the enormous sacrifices they have to make does not frighten them, nor does the great loss they have to incur frighten them in any way. And we know the great losses that they are incurring. The buildings are rubble, and there's human bodies under the rubble. What greater loss can any nation incur? Loss of the human resource. Indeed, this small minority of believers who are living the reality of the struggle and are insightful, they have knowledge of the fact that they are treading, their knowledge of the fact that they are treading such a path which is going to bring this kind of consequences. They are aware of the difficulties and the obstacles strewn all over this path. They are aware of what is required of exertion and sacrifice. They are aware of what would result from the struggle of pain and sorrow. They know what treading on this path will materialize of success and victory. And it is this knowledge of the eventual peace, stability, security, and bliss that motivates them to catch the bull by the horn. Insha'Allah, we will terminate at this point and continue from here next week. Now we just have our last segment, and that is Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. When we make this dua, O Allah, barik lana, meaning bless us in Rajab and Sha'ban and convey us to Ramadan. The greatest blessing of Rajab and Sha'ban is giving us the hidayah to prepare for the month of Ramadan. As it was mentioned here yesterday, that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as soon as one Ramadan finished, they start preparing for the next Ramadan. Now yesterday we spoke about two kinds of people. You know, the one group, or we'll say two individuals. One individual, he feels the hand of Allah Azza wa Jalla on him, you know, guiding him, patting him on the shoulder every time he slips, he errs. And then you get that other person who is isolated from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then the question was asked, if one has to inquire, how can I be the first one, the one who is living within the hidayah and the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And how can I be delivered from being the second one, the one who is living in isolation from the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Now the answer would be, this quest firstly requires rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rahmah we translate as mercy, compassion. Mercy that would make you from among those who are fortunate to have received the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Mercy that would distance you from being the losers. The next question would be, is there a way to attain this mercy? The answer to this question is most certainly. Firstly, it begins with uluwul himma, himmatun aliya, having high aspirations. Then al-azm, determination. And then an-niyatu sahiha, correct intention. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the authenticity of the intention of the servant, and the noble deeds and noble deeds reach him from his servant, he takes the hand of his servant and gives him special attention. He gives him the attention a loving father gives to his beloved and obedient son. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, plans the affairs of his servant and rectifies his condition. You know, we say, Allahumma zakki nufusana. Oh Allah, purify our souls, because only Allahu Azza wa Jalla can do this. He is the only one that can make islah of us. So he plans the affairs of his servant that is got the correct intention, that is living in his obedience, and he rectifies his condition. And that verse was quoted yesterday, Inna sa'yakum la shatta. Your efforts are diverse. Some people are going away from Allahu Azza wa Jalla with their efforts. You know, the kind of deeds that they engage in distances them from Allahu Azza wa Jalla. While there are others who are engaged in such efforts that brings them closer to Allahu Azza wa Jalla. Inna sa'yakum la shatta. All your striving and your efforts, they diverse. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As for those who give and they fear Allah, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, they believe in everything good for him, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Such a person will ease the path of ease for him. So we just said Allah Azza wa Jalla makes islah of us. He purifies us. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. You are the best who purifies our soul. So here's the Quranic verse is also telling us. We spoke about correct intention and living in the obedience. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As he who gives in charities and he fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, he reveres Allah Azza wa Jalla, he believes in goodness. For him, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ease the path of ease. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for he who is miserly, he is stingy, and he conducts himself, you know, as though he is independent of Allah, independent of the whole world. And when a person conducts himself in that way, then he becomes an arrogant tyrant. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. He rejects all kinds of goodness. He don't believe in goodness. He just wants to be a tyrant, or oppressor, a despot. Such a person, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْأُسْرَى. We will ease the path of hardship for him. Allama ibn Qayyim al-Jawziya alayhi rahmatullah states, the attainment of the noble quest is dependent upon high aspiration and correct intention. Himmatun aliyatun niyatun sahihatun. Those are the two things. He who lacks these two, you know, characteristics, if you may call them, he who lacks this, for such a person, reaching the goal is difficult. Indeed, when the aspiration is high, it is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with the exclusion of every other entity. And if the intention is correct, the servant will tread on the path that leads to the goal, because his intention is correct and he's got high aspirations. His correct intention will identify the one and only path that leads to the goal, and his high aspiration will identify the one and only goal. And the one and only goal is appearing in the presence of Allah Azza wa Jalla on Yawmul Qiyamah in a state that is pleasing to him. Now when this quest and the path that leads to it is one, reaching it becomes the only goal in life. When his aspiration is at a low level, then it is connected with goals that are trivial. You know, worldly things, I want new car, new house, etc. It is not connected to a noble quest. And when the intention is incorrect, then the path will not lead to the desired goal. The axis around which goals and objectives revolve is correct intention and high aspiration. Niyatun sahihatun, himmatun aliyatun. This is the quest and the path. This cannot be attained except by abstaining from three things. Number one, all the activities people have innovated during the month of Ramadan. Abstain from that even before Ramadan. So when it comes to Ramadan, you don't engage in those innovations. And we know there are a lot of innovations that are reserved for Ramadan. You must do this in Ramadan. You must do that in Ramadan. The sad thing about this is when people give that kind of attention to innovations, they totally disregard the sunnah. That is the wisdom behind, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbidding us, man ahdatha fi dinina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa mardud. Anybody who innovates in our deen something that is not of the deen, فَهُوَ مَرْدُودٌ, it must be rejected. When we talk about what is of the deen, from the deen, we're talking about the practice of the first three generations. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised the first three generations. خَيْرُ الْقُرُونَ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best generation is my generation. Then those who, now the generation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then those who follow them, the Tabi'iyun. And then the Tabi'i Tabi'iyin. Those who follow the Tabi'iyun. The first 300 years, you find our Al-A'immatul Mujtahidun. That is Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Imam Al-Awza'i, Imam Ishaq ibn Rahawi, and all these Aimma of the different madhabs. Of course, only four of the madhabs have stood the test of time and existing until today. But there were about 18. Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri also had his own madhab. So they were all from the first three generations. The compilers of hadith, they were from the first three generations. So if some practice did not exist in the first three generations, keep away from it. Now some people, especially these people that are in these fake Sufi orders, you know, they are the ones that are most responsible for innovations in Ramadan. Then abstaining from those acts and characteristics that obstruct single-mindedness to attain the goal. Thirdly, disconnecting the heart with everything that creates a barrier between one and his connection with the goal. As we are talking about correct intention and high aspiration, and this is how you develop. We said this cannot be attained except by abstaining from three things. And we mentioned the three things: innovations, characteristics that obstruct single-mindedness to attain the goal. Activities that obstruct single-mindedness to attain the goal. And disconnecting the heart with everything that creates a barrier between one and one's connection, contact with the goal. This is mentioned in his book Al-Fawaid. Now the desired causes have been revealed. One's aspiration must be one and only one, and that is the seeking of the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. The aspiration must be of the highest level, and the intention must be correct. Thirdly, abstinence from innovations of Ramadan, you know, those innovations that are specifically for the month of Ramadan, abstain from that. Disconnecting from all that serve as a barrier and goal, and, you know, scaling the obstructions. One may find it burdensome and difficult to adopt the means which has been mentioned. If this is the case, then indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla, due to His mercy and generosity, facilitated for this problem by offering opportunities and times that eases attaining the goal. Hence, assistance with this matter is equally available to all. Allah Azza wa Jalla states in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 62, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا. It is He who created the night and the day, you know, alternating. Why? لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ شَكُورَ. For he who wants to ponder and contemplate, or he who desires to be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created occasions and seasons wherein reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not difficult. One just has to take advantage of these occasions and times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as we read in a hadith that is recorded by Imam At-Tabarani, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna lillahi fi ayyami dahr nafahat fata'arradu laha fala'alla ahadakum tusibuhu nafha fala yashqa ba'daha abadan. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah has gifts on certain days of time. So expose yourself to these gifts. Perhaps a gift will reach one of you and you will never ever be from among the unfortunate. Imam At-Tabarani alayhi rahmatullah recorded this hadith, and Imam Albani alayhi rahmatullah has mentioned it in his As-Silsilatu Sahiha, meaning this hadith is a Sahih hadith, because he got one compilation called Al-Silsilatu Sahiha, wherein he have all the authentic ahadith, and one compilation wherein he has all the weak ahadith, and he calls it As-Silsilatu Da'ifa. Now, as far as Imam Albani alayhi rahmatullah is concerned, the ulama will tell you, you don't refer to him for fiqh, you don't refer to him for aqidah. But there's one thing nobody can challenge, that he was a great scholar of hadith. When it came particularly to grading ahadith, Imam Albani was great in that field. Now, from among these seasons that gives us the opportunity, you know, to take our space back, or we'll say to return to factory setting, you know, rid ourselves of all that corrupt software that we uploaded into our brains and our hearts. Now, from among these seasons is the great month of Ramadan that gives us the opportunity. So take delight and be honored with one day of this month, on the very first night of this month, the shayateen are shackled, the doors of the fire are shut, and the doors of Jannah are opened, and assistance come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the benevolent Ar-Rahman, as he subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs an angel to announce, Ya Baghi al-Khayr, Aqbil, Wa Ya Baghi al-Shar, Aqsir. Oh, the one who desires good, advance. And oh, the one who desires evil, you know, hold yourself, hold back. Lo and behold, you see a swift response to this caller in every nook and corner. That first night of Ramadan, well, let's say up to 10 days maybe, 1 week, 7 days, the masajid are full with worshippers. You can't get space. You have to go and read salah in the wudu facilities, on staircases, etc. The sound of the recitation of the Holy Quran is the most common sound when Ramadan starts. People actually complete in making the most khatams of the Holy Quran and giving charity. The giving of charity becomes a common trait during this month. Ya Baghi al-Khayr, Aqbil, Wa Ya Baghi al-Shar, Aqsir. Oh, the desire of good, advance. And oh, the desire of evil, hold yourself back. The mere sighting of the moon brings about a complete revolution in the light of the life of the community. One witnesses a profound change at every level. Ya Baghi al-Khayr, Aqbil. A rare and valuable opportunity. An opportunity that offers mercy and forgiveness. The means to earn mercy and forgiveness are eased, and assistance to earn them are many. Inshallah, we will terminate here because our time is now up. I will inshallah be online again tomorrow between the hours of 17 and 19. And we will continue with this, our preparation for Ramadan segment, in our next session, the coming Saturday. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.